To many, work is just a four-letter word. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
How are you doing with this thing called work? You know, if you don't have a job, your job is to find a job. That's your full-time job, to find a job. And when you're in school, that's your job. You're going to study. Do your best. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it heartily with all your heart. Hey, it's the Lord Christ whom we serve. We're to do our jobs as if we're doing it for the Lord Jesus, because we are, because it's the Lord Christ whom we serve.
There is truth, there is truth, there is grace, there is hope that you always dreamed of. He can heal every scar.
Many New Testament believers in the Thessalonian church had gotten the idea that work was a bad thing, and they had begun to disengage from their day-to-day jobs. Now, they were able-bodied, but they had become lazy, and they weren't doing any constructive work. So what does God have to say about the subject of work? We'll find out today in this edition of From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. The message is entitled, Working for a Living. And it's from Pastor Jeff's new 8-message series, The Church in the Last Days. This series is also our special thank you gift for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. You can get yours in the format of your choice when you go to fromhisheart.org. I'll tell you more later, too. Right now, open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Here now is Pastor Jeff to help put godly meaning into your job as you're working for a living.
Now, you mark it down. When your theology gets bad, it affects how you live. Bad orthodoxy leads to bad orthopraxy. Orthopraxy is what you practice. So if you believe the wrong things, it'll affect what you practice. And that's what was happening in Thessalonica. They were able-bodied, but had become lazy-bodied, and they weren't doing anything constructive. They were just meddling in other people's affairs. So what does God have to say about the subject of work? I want you to notice with me three discoveries from the passage that we just read. Discovery number one, God wants us to work. God wants us to work. Now, Paul, twice in the verses that we read, gives a command to the people. Verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life. That means you're not obeying. The word command that's used in verse 6, and it's also used in verse 12, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. That word command, it's a military order handed down from a superior officer. Paul gives the strongest statement that he can give. We command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to work. Second discovery, God has sobering words for those who won't work. Remember, we're not talking about those who can't work. We're talking about those who won't work. Look at verse 10. He says, for this reason, when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life. You're out of rank. You're not obeying the command that we gave you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Strong words from the Lord concerning these people. And he's telling the church, hey, this is what's going on in your church. This is not good. Now, you mark it down. Those who won't work, they're disobeying God. And not only are they disobeying God, but they're displeasing God. Because if you're disobeying God, then you're going to be displeasing God. There's no way that I can please God when I'm disobeying God. I have to get my life right with God. I have to say, yes, Lord, and do what he says. Now, the scripture is clear. Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household. He has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Man, that is strong. If you don't provide for your household, speaking primarily to men, because men have the responsibility, by and large, to provide for their wife and for their children. If you refuse to do that, remember, not talking about people who can't do it, it's talking about people that won't do it. If you won't do that, well, you've denied the faith. You're worse than an unbeliever. Strong words by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God is saying that through the Apostle Paul. Now, in my family, when Debbie and I got married, we knew going into this, we wanted to have kids. And we knew going into having kids that I would work and she would stay home. And so Debbie was a school teacher. And so Debbie taught in the high school. And so we thought, well, we didn't really know how long it would be before we had a baby. And so it wasn't long. She got pregnant about 6 months after we got married. And so she worked until she had the baby. And then she stopped working. And then she just worked at home. And so you talk about trusting God and asking God to provide, because we just lost half our income when Debbie retired from teaching to be a full-time mom. But that's the way we wanted it to be. And I knew going into it, hey, if I have to live in a one-bedroom apartment so that we can have Debbie stay home and raise our girls, then so be it. We're going to do that because we were committed to that. To each his own, but for us, we didn't want to send our child to daycare. We wanted Debbie to raise the children. In a family, you have one that needs to make the money, and you have one that needs to take care of the kids, and however you work that out. But that is a requirement from God, because if you don't provide, you're worse than an unbeliever. So you're disobeying God if you're not working. And you can work and you don't work, you're displeasing God, and you're going to be disciplined by God. Disciplined by Him. That's why He says in verse 11, a very important, famous verse, "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat." Hey, hunger is a big motivator. If that person is not going to eat, then they're going to be like, wait a minute, I'm getting hungry here and no one's giving anything to me and I got to do something. The prodigal son, no one was giving anything to him. So what did he do? He got a job feeding pigs, a Jew feeding pigs, because I have to be able to eat. You know, Jesus in John chapter 6, he fed the multitudes, 5,000 men plus women and children, fed the multitudes. Took a little kid's lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fish, and multiplied it, and they ate, and they were all satisfied, and there was leftovers. Well, they were excited about that because it was the best fish and bread they ever had in their life. And so the next day, they were looking for Jesus. Why? Because it was breakfast time. And they said, hey, show us a sign. Moses had bread come down from heaven. What about you? Could you show us a sign? They were basically saying to Jesus, we want you to make breakfast now. We had dinner last night with you, and now we want to have breakfast. And Jesus said, you come after me, not because of the signs, but because of the loaves, because you ate and were fed. And now you're looking to be fed again. And I don't work that way. I'm not your chef. And Jesus preached a sermon, and it was a tough sermon. And at the end of the sermon, people said, these are difficult sayings. Who can abide by this? And they left, and they quit following after him. What was Jesus saying to them? Well, in the words of the soup Nazi on Jerry Seinfeld, no soup for you. I'm not going to give you any more. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. We have the example in Scripture that the Lord was not going to keep feeding them, because that miracle was to communicate a message, and they had missed the message. So God has sobering words for those who won't work. And then discovery number 3, God tells us how to respond to those who won't work. How to respond to those who won't work. Look at verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. And if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man and do not associate with him, so that he may be put to shame, and yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, if you are the part of the church that was working in the Thessalonian church, you look around at these others who aren't working and who are just sponging off the workers, and you could get the idea, well, what is it? I mean, why am I working and footing the bill for this guy who's not working? And it doesn't seem to be bothering him any that he's not working. And so maybe I ought to just join him and not work and let somebody else pay for me. Paul said, don't do that. Don't do that. You keep doing what's right. You keep working hard. Don't grow weary of doing good. You know, our country is so messed up right now. And we have taken something that was designed to be a help and a blessing for people in need, the welfare system, and we've just turned it into something that is a disincentive for people to work. I looked this up. I was shocked about this, but you have in 11 states in the United States of America, to be on welfare pays more than a first-year teacher. In 34 states in the United States of America, it pays more to be on welfare than it does to be a starting secretary in an office. Well, it shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't have incentives for people to not work because you're hurting those people. There is a blessing in working. Adrian Rogers said this, when one person receives without working, then another person must work without receiving. The government cannot give to anybody anything that the government does not first take from somebody else. And when half of the people get the idea that they do not have to work because the other half is going to take care of them, and when the other half gets the idea that it does no good to work because somebody else is going to get what they work for, that, my dear friend, is about the end of any nation. Hey, we can't be in that kind of a world. And Paul is encouraging those Christians who were working. Hey, you keep doing right. There is blessing from God in working hard. And there's a good feeling when you go to sleep at night knowing that I worked hard today and my job made a difference. It might have been a small job. It might have been typing letters. It might have been doing errands and being a gopher. I go for this. I go for that. Whatever it might be. But hey, if I did it for the Lord Jesus, it glorified him. Amen. And it made a difference. And I can go to bed at night knowing, hey, I was pleasing to God. And so we don't quit doing what is right. And here's the tough stuff. Don't associate with those in the church who won't work. That's what he says. Keep aloof from them. Keep your distance from them. Withdraw from them. Why? Because they're not doing right. They're disobeying God. They're displeasing God. They're going to experience the discipline of God. So you stay away from that person. Because I've already told them in the first letter they were to be working. Now they're still not working. And so the discipline is going to come stronger. Don't associate with those who won't work. And don't enable those who won't work. That's where we have trouble. See, verse 10, if a man will not work, neither let him eat. And we have trouble with that. And we say, well, this person is hungry. Yeah? Why are they hungry? Are they hungry because they cannot work? Or are they hungry because they will not work? The scripture is clear. Don't help and enable someone who won't work. Let hunger motivate that person to get out there and get a job and earn their own bread. We have trouble with that. But hey, it works with your kids when your kids are little. When our kids were little, Debbie is misdisciplined. I mean, I just love that about her. She's so disciplined. She's iron will. And whenever there was a battle of the wills with the girls, I mean, it's like, you're not going to beat mom. I mean, mom will go without sleep for 2 weeks to beat you when it's a battle of the wills. And if you're not going to eat the food that we give you, then you're not going to eat. You know, it's like, I just want dessert. I just want dessert. No dessert for you. It's going to be, this is what we're having. If you don't want to eat it, don't eat it. But that's all there is. And so if they think they're tough, all right, I'm not going to eat tonight. Well, okay. What about breakfast in the morning? Well, I'm not going to eat that either. A little kid can't go very long without eating, right? Pretty soon they're like, what is there? I'll eat anything. I'll eat beets. No, they wouldn't eat beets. Nobody eats beets. But I'll just eat whatever because I'm hungry. Don't enable bad behavior. Don't bless bad behavior. And hey, how about this one? How about when your kids are older and they come home? You know, you shot them out of the scripture says children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And you shoot the arrow and then it's like a boomerang. It comes back. And you're like, well, wait a minute. You're supposed to be gone, you know. I did my time with you and now here you are back and you want me to fund your life. And some people, they have such trouble saying no to their adult children who refuse to work. Don't enable that girl, that guy, that son, that daughter. Don't. That's what the scripture says to do. You're not doing them any favors by enabling them to stay in their disobedience to God. That's hard to do, but it's needed. And the Lord says, if they won't work, neither let them eat. And then we're to help bring that workless, idle Christian back to the Lord. Look at verse 14. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man and do not associate with him so that he may be put to shame. Can't do that. Put somebody to shame. That's a terrible thing. A Christian would never do that. It's called church discipline. And we've gotten so far away from that in the church. We don't discipline in our homes. We don't discipline in the church. And we see people committing all sorts of sin, unrepentant. And we just welcome them in like there's, oh, it's no big deal. It's a big deal. The Lord says, hey, I don't want to reward that behavior. I don't want you to reward that behavior. And so you stand aloof from that person. You don't let him be a part of what's going on at the church. He's not welcome at the Lord's table for the Lord's Supper because he's in sin. And you help them see that they're in sin so that they would be ashamed of their sin. Years ago, probably 20 years ago or so, there was a judge in Houston who became very well known because he was a different kind of judge. His name was Ted Poe. Ted Poe was a judge who believed in the power of shame. He said he was fed up with the revolving cast of drug buyers, drunk drivers, shoplifters that never seemed to get the message. And so he began to sentence those lawbreakers to a sentence of shame. He said, public humiliation succeeds where jail habitually fails. And Judge Poe said, I think this type of sentencing is important. The people I see have too good a self-esteem. He said, I want them to feel guilty about what they've done. I don't want them to leave the courthouse having warm fuzzies inside. So what he would do is if you committed a crime, he would make you wear a sandwich board that spelled out your crime. If you stole from a drugstore, he would have you stand outside the drugstore with a sandwich board that said, I stole from this store. And you'd have to stand out there for 8 hours a day. People say, well, that's just horrible. That's inhumane. That's dehumanizing. No, it's effective. Amen. It's effective. Ted Poe said this, of the 59 shaming sentences that he handed out in a three-year period, he said only two offenders have been arrested again. People don't like to experience shame. The guy that he ordered to wear the sandwich board outside of the store that he shoplifted, Ted Poe said he got a letter from that guy. And he said he wrote the judge saying, I hated it when you did that to me, but in the long run, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because it changed my life and my way of thinking and the trajectory of my life. Hey, we love people. You love them enough to separate yourself from them if they are in sin. But you don't do it as you're dealing with an enemy. You're doing it to win back a brother to the Lord, saying you are going down the wrong road. The way of the Lord is this way, and so we're going this way, and we're going to keep you out unless you join us in walking with the Lord. Work. God wants us to work. He has sobering words for those who won't work. And he tells us how to respond to those who won't work. So as we close out today, I want to ask you this question. How are you doing with this thing called work? You know, if you don't have a job, your job is to find a job. That's your full-time job, to find a job. And when you're in school, that's your job. You're going to study. Do your best. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it heartily with all your heart. Hey, it's the Lord Christ whom we serve. We're to do our jobs as if we're doing it for the Lord Jesus, because we are, because it's the Lord Christ whom we serve. I'll close with a story. There was a man who was a master carpenter. He worked for a home builder, and he worked faithfully for this home builder for years and years and years and years and years. Well, he told the home builder, hey, I'm going to retire. And the home builder said, really, I want you to just build one more house. Just build one more house for me, and then you can retire. And so the guy said, oh, okay, I'll do that. Just the last house. Well, his heart wasn't in it, and he was already thinking about, retirement. And so when he began his work, he didn't do a very good job. He got shoddy materials, and he just cut corners everywhere he could. And he would make it look good on the outside, but he knew deep down, this isn't good work. This isn't my best work. I'm just trying to get through this. And so he did. And then he finished the house, and he brought in the owner, and he said, well, here it is. I finished the house. And the owner had some papers with him. And the carpenter said, what is that? He said, it's the deed to this house. I'm giving it to you as a retirement gift. And the man said, I didn't know. I had no idea I was working on my own house. Oh, if I'd only known, I would have given it my all. It's the Lord Christ whom you serve. It's the Lord Christ whom I serve. Whatever you're doing, do it with all your might to the glory of God.
Well, it's so imperative that we as believers maintain a proper work ethic. How are you doing in that department? Today, you heard part two of the lesson, Working for a Living, and we aired part one on Friday. It's from Pastor Jeff's new 8-message series, The Church in the Last Days, offering some thought-provoking insights for you on how to work for the glory of God no matter what your life's work is. The Bible says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. As the end days approach and the world grows darker, it's even more important for others to see God work in our lives. Of course, this is just one of the things we're learning this month in this series, The Church in the Last Days, but also so much more about what to expect as Christ returns, the rapture, the Antichrist, Armageddon, and so much more. The series is our gift of thanks for your support this month to From His Heart. Simply make your gift and request the series when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. Let these lessons sink into your heart and mind. Put them into practice and watch the peace of God fill your life like you've never experienced before. We can't thank you enough for helping us to be able to broadcast on this and hundreds of other stations and outlets every day sharing this good news. As we say often, Pastor Jeff receives no income from His Heart. He is our chief volunteer. All that you give goes to help us sustain and expand this outreach to bless others. So call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org and get The Church in the Last Days. Well, thanks for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, and we're trusting that you'll be back with us next time when Pastor Jeff concludes the series, The Church in the Last Days. That's when he'll again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org.